Good afternoon, everyone, or perhaps good morning, or any time of the day. This is Lina Life. I'm Lina Mirmont. My program as usual, but with very unusual guest. Her name is Tanya Ebert. We all certainly know that variations of our spiritual world is absolutely endless, and one certainly can be somewhat putting in a place for exploration with no much of problems. We can share certain similar things, like certain sensations, tastes, but we certainly cannot be statistic when it comes to the curvature of our spirit. I found my guest exceptionally interesting just in that, because her spiritual journey is unlike of just even usual creative journey. It goes to the area of imagination, exploration, which we all certainly can feel wonderful place to open our mind, whether we agree or not, whether we will be sympathetic or not, but it is a journey. And I'm very anxious to invite Tanya Ebert to our conversation and looking forward to her sharings with all of us. And on this note, I will invite Tanya. How are you? And welcome to the program with your opening, which I guess will be first about your life, then we will talk about your book. But I guess this is something I like to ask you to be as free as a bird and start from most significant point of your life and share it with us.
Thank you so much, Lina, for having me. It's a pleasure to be sharing this time with you and your listeners. I really started out having a very difficult childhood, and I was a handful as a teenager. I was into very heavy drug usage and drinking by the age of 14, and I also stole my mom's car in the middle of the night to go for joyrides. During all this, I have always thought that I have had a sixth sense, but I did not know how to control it. Spirits and other things had made themselves known to me since I was a child, but I couldn't dare talk to anyone about such a thing. I used to be terrified of the dark and terrified to go to sleep, and it wasn't until I was almost 37 that I stopped using nightlight. When I was 29 years old, I took a year off in 2001 to get off the drugs and the booze, and I sold everything I owned. I quit my government job of 8 years, and I put a backpack on my back, and I traveled by myself to Southeast Asia. And although I did learn a lot during that trip, I ended up addicted to smoking heroin, and I am lucky that I did not end up in a Malaysian prison, but that is a whole other story. I've pretty much been told by everyone that has ever met me that they've never met anyone like me before. And I've always been pretty tough on the outside, but deep down I just wanted love, guidance, and acceptance like everyone else. In June of 2007, I experienced a dirt bike accident that left me pretty much disabled and unable to take care of myself for quite some time. I saw a surgeon about, I guess it was 4 months, I went for surgery, my first surgery, and my leg was actually stuck. I couldn't straighten it or I couldn't bend it. I couldn't touch it with a feather. I couldn't move without screaming, basically. He confirmed that my leg was indeed stuck. He couldn't straighten it or bend it while I was under anesthetics. But he said that I would be walking in about 2-3 weeks. And when the 2-3 week time period came, I wasn't walking. I wasn't any more advanced than I was beforehand. And this went on for over a year afterwards. At that time, I was still in excruciating pain, using a wheelchair. In fact, I couldn't get milk at a grocery store without using a wheelchair. And I found myself in a very depressed, suicidal state. I couldn't do anything for myself, pretty much. I depended on everyone to help me. I couldn't take care of myself. I was in a lot of pain, and it brought me down a very, very deep, deep, dark hole. Would you like me to continue?
By all means, since you so graciously stopped in a second, I tell you... that story which you just shared with us, just those facts, frankly gives immediate question what a tremendous gift of survival power you have. Because just to go through what you did share with us is something beyond human. So I'm sure that... by all means, follow with every detail you choose to share with us, but we already tune in your highest emotional barometer as a survivor and a person who can play such a tremendous independent spiritual role, feeling the pain, feeling suffering, and yet feeling as a winner. I'm jumping a little bit ahead because I can easily conclude that since you are talking to us in a such expressive, open, clear way, you are extremely clear what did happen to you, and we all will be very anxious to take step by step with you, with your life. So please go on.
Thank you. Yeah, at that time, I found myself, the existence I was living was very inhumane. It was, you know, a daily torture of pain, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally, to watch everybody, you know, walk down the street gracefully while I struggled with this wheelchair. And I found myself crying, you know, waking up crying throughout the day. I couldn't leave my apartment because I couldn't stop crying. At night, I would rock myself to sleep and just beg for help, plead for help, only I didn't know who I was asking because there was no one here but me. And at the time, I didn't believe in God. I used to think that there couldn't be a God because I wouldn't have lived this torturous life if there was a God. That's what I felt at the time. One day I was on my computer and I noticed there was a link to some place in Sedona, Arizona. I'd never heard of the place, never knew of the place, but I had this deep urge to click on the link, and it was some sort of spiritual retreat. And they usually suggest that people go for 3 or 4 days, and when I phoned them up, I told them that I was, you know, extra screwed up, double up the time I needed. When I hung up the phone, my shoulders released. A smile miles wide began to grow across my face, and the tears just began to pour. And these weren't tears of sadness. These were tears of joy. Like somehow I just knew that I was going to make it, that this Sedona thing, it was going to work. At this point, you know, I could no longer cry for sadness as there was nothing left in me. My spirit was dead. My soul was lost. And when those words came out of my mouth, like, I had no idea what that even meant. I was not spiritual. I was not religious. I was a party girl. That's what I used to do. And so I wasn't quite understanding it, but I was just trusting myself that I needed to go there. I was quite suicidal at that time, and I had decided that if I didn't like, you know, what happened after I'd gotten back, or how I felt after I'd gotten back from Sedona, And I also had some surgeries that were coming up that by the end of 2008, if I wasn't happy with the way my leg was, I was going to commit suicide. So I was really, really depending on this Sedona to hopefully, you know, I didn't want to kill myself, but I felt that that's all that was left. I had this strange feeling to start recording everything that was happening to me and that I was to write a book about it, and that everything that had been happening to me was happening with purpose and for a reason. Something big was about to happen. I just felt it inside. I just knew it. I didn't know what it was, but I felt something very big coming my way, which is kind of strange because I had met a psychic in 1995, and she had told me that I would write my first book by the time I was 40. She was dead on about everything else except for that, or so I thought. When she told me that, I thought to myself, lady, I don't even read books. I sure ain't going to write one. I like to, you know, drink booze and party, and every day is just a party day. I was in my 20s then. I'm like, I'm not going to be writing a book. It felt as though death was right around the corner before I left on my trip for Sedona. So I created a music video to be played at my funeral, and I made instructions on what to do if I died. And I arrived in Sedona for my week-long retreat. It just happened to have been on September 11th of 2008. And within 10 minutes of being at the head office, I broke down crying, and I had no idea how I'd got there, what I was doing there, and I felt like a lost 5-year-old little girl. They assured me that I was right where I was supposed to be and that everything was going to be all right. I just needed to relax and just, you know, go with the program. And I ended up meeting some of the best practitioners during my week stay there. And it, to me, when I look back, it's like I didn't do a whole lot while I was there, but I gained so much when I came back. Like, there is not a dollar amount that I could ever put on the experience. There is, like, if someone offered me all the money in the world to take back my experience, I wouldn't take it. Like, the experience is far worth more than anything ever. When I came back home from Sedona, I went to bed one person, and I literally awoke another. The deep trauma, the deep pain that I used to feel was magically lifted away from me. I felt like I was literally floating on the clouds. It was an incredible bliss, one that I can't even put words to. It's just, it was like a complete transformation. Everything, the way my head thought, the way I saw things, it just, everything was different. And as happy as I was, I realized something very phenomenal was happening, and I couldn't share it with anyone because I didn't even know what it was or how to even explain it to anybody. So I pretty much walked around in complete bliss, and I found that I was being guided, and so much so that 5 o'clock in the morning, one morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I heard a voice that told me to go to the window. And I was just kind of looking around like, where's that voice coming from? Like, I can hear it in my head, but I don't think it's outside. And it kept on encouraging me to go to the window. And I wasn't afraid of it. I didn't quite understand what was happening, but I wasn't afraid of it. So I went to my bedroom window, and I looked out, and I saw stars like I had never seen before. They were just amazing. Like, I almost wondered if anybody else out there was seeing what I saw, because I've never, ever seen stars that looked like that. I found myself mesmerized and staring at them for at least a half hour or more. And I felt that they were trying to communicate something with me. And I didn't know what it was, but I felt they were trying to tell me something. About 10 days after that, I got called to my window again, only this time it was, you know, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening. And this time it was a ball of light going across the sky. And I was just like, what the heck is that? I seen all these, like, sparkles and stuff in the air, and it wasn't quite, I didn't know what it was. I've never seen anything like that before, but it's like, this thing just called me to my window. How is it that, you know, things are calling me to my window and showing me stuff out there? I started becoming quite confused as to what was really happening with me, because I was in a state of bliss, yet all these strange things were happening to me, things that I felt that I could not speak to anybody about. I was being guided to go to stores and buy certain things and completely change my living environment around, and I didn't know what was going on, and I finally broke down and felt that the old Tanya, wherever she wasn't here anymore, and I started looking for her under my bed, in my closet, and I was really confused. I was looking in the mirror, touching my face, and it's like, okay, that's the outside, but the inside's not there anymore. Like, I was very confused. Even though I was in a state of bliss and it was good, I was just wondering, where did my old self go? Like, it can't just hop out and a new person just hop in. It was just, I was quite confused, and I thought, you know, something must have happened in Sedona. Like, maybe I was sure of it, that, you know, one of the practitioners could help me with that, because I experienced something really phenomenal in one of her sessions. And so I had contacted her, and she told me that she could channel my guides. And I'm like, channel? Like, what is channeling? And she explained to me that she can, you know, spirits and angels and other beings can speak through her, which I had never even heard of such a thing, because this whole spiritual stuff was very new to me. I wasn't aware of any of this kind of stuff. Although I did have a sixth sense, and I always sensed spirit around me, this was a whole different ballgame, like the stuff that was happening to me. And I had contacted her and made an appointment to get a channeling with my guides. And it was that session that everything in my entire life made sense. Like, everything. I found out that the reason that I've had such a difficult time in, you know, the first 36 years of my life was, I don't originate from Earth. I originate from Orion, the star system Orion. And I was wondering, well, what is this Orion? Like, I don't know what that is. So after the channeling session, I Googled Orion to see what it looked like, and lo and behold, it was the stars that called me to the window. And from there, it's pretty much just been putting pieces together of all these very strange things happening, including when I was in Sedona, I was drawn to buy crystals, which I've never done that before. I never really knew about them or had an interest in them. And I had bought a couple hundred of them. And one of my friends was quite upset because she had just recently miscarried a baby. And I said to her, I'm like, well, maybe I can do something. Maybe I can put my crystals on you and around you and help relieve you of some of that, you know, emotional pain that you're feeling. And I did that, and she had a phenomenal session, which I had no idea what I was doing. I've never been trained or shown what to do. I was just placing crystals around her and placing my hands above her, and she had felt, you know, she did feel a shift. She felt a lot of emotional pain just kind of released from her. And, I mean, she wasn't fully healed and ready to take on the world, but there was, like, she couldn't get out of bed before. She was so depressed, and she just felt like she got that extra kind of boost and strength that, yeah, she's going to be okay. She's going to make it. And slowly I started to practice on other friends and family and discovered that I had some sort of ability in healing people, yet I didn't really know that I would, like, I wasn't making it happen. It was just happening. It wasn't...
Just want to make one comment. You actually did heal yourself because you're not in a wheelchair. Using cane.
It was actually this year. It was just 3 years shy of my accident that I am not in a wheelchair. I don't use a walker. I don't use a cane. In fact, if I had to walk 20 kilometers, I feel very confident that I could do that.
And the reason of...
The doctors had completely given up on me after, I guess it was after a good two and a half years, the surgeons, I went through three of them, they completely had given up on me. My third surgeon booked two surgeries within a year, canceled both of them, and then told me he couldn't fix me, and that's when I realized it's like okay, it's up to me now, me and spirit, it took some time, but it did all come together, and my leg is not 100%, but I no longer fear that I'm going to get stranded and not be able to ever, if something was, my vehicle was to break down, before I could never just walk out there and get help. And now I can, and I can go up and down stairs, no problem. I can do a light jog and start to really get out there, out and about.
I certainly did not mean to interrupt the line of your thoughts. So please take us back to that moment when you've been talking about this realization that indeed you belong to another life system, if I may call it, because whether it's Earth or stars, this very endless amount of stratosphere of our life, and we all certainly belong to certain corners, mm-hmm. and you made a discovery of yours, mm-hmm. and what an incredible journey that was and still is.
Yes, it very much is.
And I, go ahead. I will form my question. Please go on.
Okay. That voice that was calling me to my window, the second time it happened, all of a sudden I remembered. I was just like, hey, wait a minute. I remember that voice. That was the same voice that saved my sister from a fire, because when I was 11 years old, my sister would have been 3 at that time. Me and my friend, it was the weekend, we were having a little sleepover, and we were camping in my tent in the backyard. And back then, we used to live on kind of like farmland, and we were allowed to build little campfires. So we had a campfire going, and me and my friend were running around the backyard, and all of a sudden I heard this voice in my head. And this is when I was 11 years old, that told me to go to my sister before she falls in the fire. And I never hesitated. I never told my friend about the voice. I just started running towards the fire where my sister was sitting in a chair, and I guess she had fallen asleep. Just as I had gotten to the fire, she had fallen into it, but I got there quick enough that I grabbed her by the back of the shirt and pulled her out right away. So she did go in for a split second, but I yanked her right out. And she didn't have to go to the hospital or anything. She had just, very minor burn. But if it wasn't for me listening to that voice in my head that told me to go to the fire, like, I'm not so sure, it would have ended up like that. And, of course, I never told my friend. I never told my mom. And I never thought of it ever again after that. I just did what it told, what I was told, and kind of left it alone. And this finding out that, you know, that I don't originate from here really makes a whole lot of sense to me on just the way I used to feel. I'd always find myself, and this is something I've never really even shared with, you know, my friends prior to this, but I used to always find myself staring up into the sky and saying, one day, I'm, you know, in this lifetime, I'm going to be up there. Like, I it's like I belong up there. I would actually, if I could just go for a ride up into space and see the Earth from space, I would even give my life for that. Like, to me, that would be just the ultimate. I would gladly... I always had this drawing to space and the stars. In my 20s, I remember anytime there was programs on like UFOs and stuff like that, I was always very much drawn to those kind of programs as well. Now, when I used to watch them and I'd hear a lot of, you know, and watch, say, abduction type shows, it would seem that I'd have all the symptoms, yet I don't remember being abducted or anything like that, but I, from all these people that do, like, a lot of my own personal experiences kind of sounded like I wondered if this was happening. And I used to make jokes to my friends because during the nighttime, it felt like I was just, I never got any sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I was always so tired. And I used to joke around with my friends and, like, oh, I probably get abducted by aliens when I'm sleeping. And, but I used to joke around about that. But deep down, I used to wonder if it was really true. And although I do not have any recollection of being on a ship or anything of the sort, something deep within me tells me that I have. But I actually do not have recollection of that.
Tanya, perhaps, more of a feeling. Perhaps I will interject a few questions here.
Sure.
I will try to be as tactful as I can, because there are obviously two dimensions we're dealing with. It's your deeply abstract, non-visible experience, which took you from one stage in your life and brought you to this enlightenment and total liberation. And there is also some practical side of life where you went to well-known place like Sedona. I personally never was there. However, I have to share and say that one of my dearest girlfriend goes there regularly, because she said that there is some kind of place there where charges are exact imitation of those electrical negative and positive current waves. And she goes there just to take a walk on certain place, and she feels, literally, she feels recharged. She feels very energetic, and she feels that her body almost craving to be there. So on a very, very limited basis, I can relate to your story. But going further to these earthy connections, obviously you were alone in the beginning in your childhood. You were not lonely because you had this semi-vision of social life with all this negative habits, but then you really became very lonely and you hit the ground, hit the bottom, so to speak, where you've been thinking of a suicide. And of course this tremendous pain, which no word can even touch with your medical experiences. My question is to take this tremendous symphony of experiences, did you renew your communication with your family? For example, did you approach your mother? I know that your father didn't show much love to you, unfortunately, as well as your mother. But did you have any kind of reconnection to the people from before being in your present stage?
I did not share my experiences with my mother or my family for nearly 2 years. It was actually just June of this year when I finally told them, and exactly, because they were wondering, what the heck is going on with her? Like, I literally got rid of my TV, got rid of, you know, VCR, DVD players, PlayStation. I don't watch TV anymore. I donated my furniture. I put this outdoor gazebo tent in my living room, which I call the healing hut. I filled it up with plants, crystals, and, you know, positive words, and I got all my walls painted different colors of the rainbow. And they were wondering there's something quite strange going on, and finally it took me until June of this year before I admitted everything. I was quite afraid of that, and I told them, I'm like, surely you guys know that I'm different. And they're like, oh, yeah, we've lived with you all your life. We know you. And I told them, it's because I don't originate from here. And I was very afraid to admit to anybody, because I thought, if I start talking like that, people are going to think I'm off my rocker. And it's only because I experienced all that I have that I believe it. Because, if anyone told me this stuff that I'm sharing a few years back, I would have thought they were off their rocker. So I can completely understand how others who haven't experienced how this would sound. So I was quite frightened. And I'm happy to say that my mom and my sister have accepted me just for me, exactly the way I am, which I've heard in some cases doesn't always happen. Where, one of my best friends actually didn't accept it, and she actually called mental health on me. And they did come for a visit to see if I was a schizophrenic or a psychotic, and they were happy to tell me before they left that I was not schizophrenic or psychotic, which I tried to tell them on the phone, but they insisted on, you know, visiting me anyways. And so I have lost a lot of friends through this transformation, but my family has stuck by me.
Well, that's a wonderful last news you gave me, but did they notice that you are not handicapped anymore? Think that you are somewhat psychotic or insane, that you certainly recovered and get rid of your miseries? How was the reaction on that score?
Well, and that's the thing where I think they kind of, like, they did see all that. Like, you know, some of my friends, when they first even walked into my apartment and how I changed it, they're like, whoa, what's going on in here? Have you lost it? But then as they seen how happy I was and that, you know, I did heal myself and I was starting to heal some of my friends of things, too, that they're like, no, there really is something going on here. So the people that have actually been interacting with me on a daily basis can see all these really good things that have happened.
Which is, thank God, such a fantastic thing. And it is somewhat a philosophical measure. One cannot condemn a human being if someone will be confronted with something totally out of line, outrageously different, and so unreal for any kind of measure of imagination. So you were presenting tremendous challenge in this way, no doubt about this. It's just sad that people's reaction can be very harsh sometimes. Shortcomings can be somewhat not very thoughtful. But I think your being and this tremendous oneness which you gain as a result of your journey speaks for itself. I'll be honest, I would be certainly skeptical myself. But skepticism is not such a bad thing, really, because today skeptical. Yeah, go ahead.
The way I look at it, and this is what I tell, like, you know, because a lot of my friends are like, you know, a lot of the stuff that I share with them makes sense, and a lot of the stuff they're like, no, that's way too out there for me. And I always tell them, I'm like, it's okay for them to not believe what I believe because they haven't experienced it, so I couldn't expect them to, and I don't expect people to just believe what I say just because I said it. I only ask that people are open-minded and go within, and they may not ever experience a lot of these things that I experience, and that's okay because maybe they didn't come here to experience that, and I did. And so I do respect people and their own beliefs. I believe that each and every one of us should be allowed to believe in whatever it is that we want without repercussions from anybody. You know, that it's okay for me to believe what I believe, and it's okay for Sally down the street to believe what she wants to be, even if it's the opposite of what I want. If it works for her, then that's what's important for her.
I think this is extremely profound thought, and that touches number of categories of human behavior, like tolerance or expansion of imagination, or to have this open mind for something very abstract, perhaps something outrageous, not wild, not obviously dangerous. But if someone, for example, feels that he or she gets stuck or has this tremendous suffering, especially if it is on a continuous basis, I think the time or timing is to ask questions, the time to listen deeper to this pain, where is it originated? Of course, in your case, obviously, first we'll see your unfortunate childhood. This just a tremendous right there pain and unfairness and challenges which you experienced. I know that your mother was very young when she gave you birth, and the fact that your father didn't love you. Right there, you had extremely polluted roots of yourself as a human being. And going through all of this, one can incredibly admire you, and I would say worship this process, because regardless, as you probably said, what kind of experiences you went through, no matter how wild they can be, but the result is that you are a human being, and now you can be in your own skin, not as an empty shell, as you pointed out, I guess it was in the beginning of your book, but you are having your tremendous fulfillment. And to add to this, now you share it with others. I like to know of your healing abilities, how you're communicating with other people, and besides this lady who had this miscarriage, are you helping others?
When I first discovered that I had this healing ability, because no one ever told me or showed me, I just started doing it, I wanted to help everybody. I didn't even want to help myself anymore. I would see strangers on the street, and because I also have this ability to really feel what other people are feeling, that I would see sad people, strangers, and I'd want to go up to them, come with me, I can help you. But I learned that, no, you can't do that. Like, you know, when people, excuse me, when people are ready to be healed, they will find you. You can't go looking for them. So it became I had wanted to help so many other people that I completely forgot about myself. I did notice that it seemed that people that came that were really depressed and had a lot of sadness, I was able to shift a lot of that energy for them. And by fluke, I would, like, one woman came who, for instance, only had bowel movements once per week. My only intention was to balance her chakras, and as soon as she left the session, she was on that toilet just going and going and going, and ever since then, now she goes once a day, and she never, ever was able to do that for years and years, and that was just after one session. I had another woman that came in And she never told me where her pain was. She just said that she was in a lot of pain, and she was hoping that a session would alleviate some of that. So again, my intention was to balance the chakras, and my intention is always for the highest good of the client. It's always got to be for the highest good. And sometimes getting healed isn't for the highest good. In my case, if the doctors had healed my leg, this transformation may have not happened. So it was, you know, I was supposed to go through the trauma. I was supposed to go through the pain. But with this particular woman, she had come in, and at the end of her session, she started moving her neck, and she's like, wow. She's like, I've not been able to move my neck for months. Like, I've not been able to move like that. And she said that she had felt the pain in her neck build up and then slowly move down her body and then out her solar plexus chakra. So it's like, it's not me doing these healings. It's a part of me that's kind of stepping aside and allowing spirit to channel through me and to facilitate the healings. I believe the body knows how to heal itself. Sometimes it just needs a little bit of help or facilitation. I believe that we all have these abilities of healing. We've just been programmed to think otherwise, and I want to learn as much as I can about it so that I can, I just don't want to heal people. I want them to learn that they can heal themselves.
Are you do this sessions in person, or you can do distant healing? What methods or what way are you using?
I'm just starting to do sessions in person again because I thought Spirit would let me know when it was time to do sessions, and they did that by three people that I never offered them to. They just came to me after reading my book and asked if, you know, they could have a session with me. And three people within a couple of days came to me. I'm like, okay, this must mean that I'm supposed to get back on track. It's, you know, it's time to start helping others again. I've done distance, a little bit of distance healing, but it's not something that I've practiced enough where I'd be confident to advertise such a thing. I would like to practice that more before I actually really feel confident that I am, you know, capable of doing that. I'm not aware that I quite am yet. I know that the couple of people that I have practiced on, they definitely did feel something, but I've only done it a couple times, so that's something I want to, you know, practice a little bit more before I would say that I could actually do that sort of thing.
I have to give you a little warning that after your first description, this lady who had the problem with her bowel movement, I will not be surprised if you will have a couple miles of waiting line around the
Well, you know, and another person too, like she had another person similar, and I told her, I'm like, okay, you take these two crystals, and I'm like, either you place them, and I told her where to place them on her body for 20 minutes in the morning, or you place them in a glass of water before you go to bed and then drink the water in the evening, and she never did do any of that, but she did say that she had walked by those crystals every day, and that was enough, and her too, she started having regular movements, and it's like, I don't have explanation. And when I was in Sedona, nobody told me to go out and buy crystals, and, you know, it just happened. I just found myself in the shops just buying them and all of a sudden using them, and I very much do believe that they do have some healing ability.
You know,
and I believe a lot of it is our minds. Our minds are very powerful. We just don't know how powerful they are.
You just said it as little as I know, but this energy abilities, they connect the link to intuition and to spirit in totally abstract way. So I'm not surprised that you felt something with these crystals. And again, as little as I know, some people using not for healing but for reading runes, which I believe another form of stones. What you're saying, actually, I believe, again, in my own very humble way, that the more you will share this energy with others, the more you probably will re-energize yourself. And I think if you go a little bit too strong, you might feel that your energy diminishing, but it is absolutely wonderland with this energy level. And I think that you reached this magic and yet most natural connection with the people, which is an energy connection, which goes much deeper, much wider than any words. And I would frankly compare this with the power of art, because only art and music can combine this emotional and physiological reactions. I don't know if you would agree with me, but so it's just my immediate sharing that perhaps even during your sessions, if you use a little bit of a music, and maybe it's a little different music than just general yoga classes or some kind of a subdued music, if this music tunes into your own personal energy, I think it can be that much more meaningful and more self-energetic to yourself. This is just a passing thought. Well, Tanya, we're coming somewhat to the end to our program. I hope not the last one. I like to ask you about your mystical puzzle. I did read some of it. I hope to read it as a whole. But could you tell us about this book and how this book is continuation of your personal experience?
The book basically it starts from the day of my accident in June of 2007, and it basically gives an account of the steps that I went through my accident, the doctors not getting it, my friends not getting it, going through the pain, you know, going to Sedona, going through the transformation, and just putting the pieces together of how I've come to the conclusion of, you know, that I am not from here, and how I've come to know that I have some sort of healing abilities. And it concludes in February of this year. It's just, it's about, I guess, 2.5 years, the account of my personal life. And it was basically a way of me coming out of the closet and to help others to, because I know there's more people out there like me, and I can only imagine they are as frightened as me to speak up and to talk about these kinds of experiences. So I'm really hoping that I can inspire others to sort of, you know, stand up and say, yes, the stuff is going on. And for those that are interested in purchasing it, they can go to my website at www.mysticalpuzzle.com.
And thank you that you gave your website. I need to say that I was very, very eager to watch a documentary in an hour before our program, when you kindly resend me your documentary through another computer channel. Unfortunately, I couldn't get it, even with the help of my son, who is way smarter with computers than myself. So yeah. Perhaps you can check this, because we all would love to see your documentary. I only had a little taste of it in the beginning, and it was incredibly informative in this emotional order, so to speak. The music is incredible. The titles are done not only with a taste, but with a pronounced meaning. So I will ask you kindly if you can do some kind of another magic and fix this YouTube documentary, because that will be a wonderful addition to your book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my last question will be not the smallest one about our world. It is not a secret that to find our spiritual belonging getting harder and harder. I would say that you have this tremendous, almost defensive mechanism because of what you gain, because of what you succeed in recreating of your human nature, that you almost untouchable by certain challenges and some perhaps a bit touch of human brutality because of a technology which is very unmerciful to our emotional needs and our needs as a human being. So how fortunate do you feel that you in this very privileged space and that you can perhaps see world from a little distance and feel much more secure than a lot of people who perhaps want to be in the same place with you?
You know, knowing what I know today, I would not change any of my experiences, and not even the traumatic ones. You know, I would still go through that accident, and every bit of pain that I've ever been through, I would keep it just the same, because it's that that has built me and made me who I am. It's unfortunate that sometimes it takes us to really, 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 really be broken before we can become awakened and alive. And every single day, I give blessings and gratitude for all that has been done, because I've had so much just magically trauma. Just, I mean, I've lived it, and it did happen, but the pain attached to it is just, it's all gone. It's all gone, and it's so much easier to get on, you know, each day with that trauma that's been relieved. I can take on so much. It's like, you know, some days are tough, and I'm not going to say that everything is, you know, a bowl of peaches, but I feel that I've just learned so much that I can take anything that comes my way. And I'm very grateful for all of my experiences.
And we are grateful for the fact that you've been so free and so generous to share this. And whoever would believe literally what you said, or whoever will take this as a message of their own, only partly discovered human gift, the bottom line is that here you are with your tremendous revelation and tremendous success, where you know exactly where you came from with no one dot of a denial. Yeah. And you've been brave enough and spiritually open enough to follow your path. So I congratulate you from the bottom of my soul and my heart because of your happiness, your freedom. And I just will not say goodbye. I will say hopefully until soon.
Yeah.
And, on this note, if you again will tell to our listeners your website, the name of your book, and I will thank my very special guest, Tanya Ebert, who was extremely interesting and very stimulating for one's imagination and experience. So, Tanya, your last word with announcement of your website, after which we will we will listen to a little music. So, Tanya, please tell us your website.
Okay, again, the name of my book is Mystical Puzzle, and the website is www.mysticalpuzzle.com. And again, it was such a pleasure to be sharing this with you and your listeners. And it was a big step for me to do this, but I believe I'm now ready to embrace the changes and, you know, to share my experiences so that others are less afraid to come out and share theirs.
Absolutely. And I do not want to extend your information unless you will wish to do so if you are interested to gain more clients or more people who will be a part of your healing environment. If you like, you can tell your telephone number, but again, it's only at your discretion.
I can give my email address.
Okay.
It is Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, at mysticalpuzzle.com.
Wonderful. Well, I think we complete what we could complete in this program. I thank you so much. Hope to be in touch. And on this note, I will wish my guests to have very restful time, whether it's a night or day. It depends on her imagination and the level of her energy. That was Tanya Ebert. And I'm going to have my post thoughts, as usual, for a few minutes after this delightful music by Julian Lampert. Like to add a few post thoughts as a conclusion to another very special program we had because of my guests, because people are still have this tremendous gift to express their spirituality. It is truly precious and yet very strong bravery to channel one's expression. As I mentioned endlessly, that times are sometimes not very kind to the spirit, to emotions, and rather over-challenging to our strategy and brain power. So we somewhat off-balance often. I cannot finish this program without sharing with all of you a few thoughts which I was able to listen to a program where a very known actor, Richard Dreyfuss, expressed. He said that technology is driving us instead of us driving technology. It's not particularly very happy thought to finish our very inspiring program. But I like to put the truth to it with the confidence that we are, as a human being, indeed can try to reverse the process. Indeed, if we will be sensitive to moments of spirituality, whether it's a religion or just a piece of lovely music or just a little kiss to our children, but just to find these moments and to be found on those moments, I think, a tremendous, precious touch of each day. On this note, I will thank my radio station, BBS. I need to extend my gratitude to them, which I actually did not do in the beginning. But I'm very happy to do this now with a touch of usual musical conclusion. And on this note, that was your Lina Live. I'm Lina Mirmont. Until next Tuesday, thank you for listening.